recording now. We're recording. As you guys don't know, we put this out on audio as well as Spotify and Apple. Yeah. The week after, if you want to re-listen. Linda, what's up? Great to see you.
Oh, Linda. Now, too, if you ever want to know the answer to something, ask Linda. She knows. Okay? Linda's got the answers. She's amazing.
Guys, we're going to get into the questions that came in throughout the week. Again, we got a different setup today, so hopefully everything works out okay. We are going to put this up here. Great question around Perfect Aminos. This came up last week. Question is, headaches stopped after stopping Perfect Aminos? If you guys remember, there was when taking Perfect Aminos, this listener was getting some headaches. A little afraid to try again. Question goes on to say, if it should happen again, would this be doing anything serious to my system to cause the headaches, or simply some sort of reaction that should not be causing any underlying problems? Ange, what do you think about this?
Ben, why don't you answer this one? I'm just kidding. Okay, sorry. Ben, I'm going to pass this on. No, I'm just kidding. So headaches actually are, headaches are difficult to kind of titrate or triage whenever you're thinking about it from a clinical standpoint, because a lot of different things cause headaches. And we live in an area that has a lot of environmental exposures, a lot of environmental changes. We're in a season of environmental changes. It's freezing outside today. It was 70 last week. So a lot of that can be triggers for headaches too. We also live in a different barometric pressure in East Tennessee for headaches. So headaches can be common, but two, doing your own experiment where it's like, I tried something, it gave me a headache, I stopped it, it stopped the headache, then that's most likely causing the headache. Headaches are inflammatory in nature. It's a cascade where one little trigger causes another little trigger. It's like little fires everywhere. So where do you put out the fire? Usually the causative agent, if you can find it. Perfect Aminos, this is a very bioavailable, usually powder form, protein. So it's just Perfect Aminos means that it's a baseline building blocks of protein that you are able to absorb well. I do know that within Perfect Aminos, it has stevia. So maybe stevia might be the problem for you. It might not be the actual branched chain amino acids. So if you look at the ingredient list, it's the active ingredients of what you're really counting is like leucine, valine, isoleucine too, the amino acids, but it also has filler in it. So too, I believe it has stevia. I don't know if it has maltodextrin in it. So that might be what's triggering your headache. But the question is this anything serious? No, this is not going to do anything serious to your system. I would say if you're looking at this question, if it's doing something serious to your system because you're overloading on painkillers for it or NSAIDs or Tylenol to cut the headaches, over time that can be harmful to your liver and kidneys, but nothing acutely. Also, too, when you're thinking about the worst thing that could be causing your headache, which would be some sort of tumor, something growing in your head, Perfect Aminos is not going to do that. It's not going to grow something. So I'm thinking, seriously, no, it's not going to harm for your system. It can be very annoying, though. And so I think that you do a risk-benefit analysis to say, is this worth it? I'd say in your situation, maybe not, and looking at a different version, maybe a branched chain amino acid from life extension, different natural forms of protein, sometimes casein or whey. They're just not as bioavailable as Perfect Aminos. Looking at the filler component of it too to see if that actually may be what you're allergic to. But seriousness, no, I think you're totally fine.
The fillers came up last week as well, which is super interesting. We need to do a deeper dive into what's actually in Perfect Aminos.
I know stevia is in it.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much for this question. Any question like this is perfect for the show. I want
to. And I hate that's happened to you. Headaches are no fun. No fun.
Real quick, I want to put this up here from D. Lynn. Thank you, D. Lynn. That's amazing. Thank you for coming into the Kingsport office.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you. KPT, that we call it the mothership.
And I want to give a shout out to everyone on our team in the Kingsport office, because they are super, super busy, and they're doing such a great job of handling everyone with such kindness. So thank you, guys. Thank you, D. Lynn, for saying that. Robin Riddle's in the building. Robin, what's going on?
Robin's here to solve the riddle, okay? If you don't know what's happening, text Robin, okay?
I see Elizabeth is going to see you on Friday, Andy, which is super cool.
Oh, awesome. Heck yeah. Oh, boy. Get it on. I'm so excited you're coming Friday. We're going to have fun.
And I believe we are open, Stan. I think we're open on Good Friday. I do believe so.
We will talk to management about that. We should be closed, right? So if we want to give Papa Bear a little call about that, we would love to be off, but that's okay. It's not so Good Friday, am I right? I'm kidding. It's a very Good Friday.
We're going to get to this question here. We love our methylene blue questions.
Oh, the blue.
Yep.
That song, I'm Blue, If I Baba Dee Baba Die.
Also.
I love the blue. Also, I guys, love the blue.
If you do have a methylene blue question, this is a great night to do it. Andy takes it multiple times a day.
I love it. I will definitely take it most often twice a day, most often actually once a day, but then I'll double up, and I love it.
So this question is around the capsules versus the drops. Did you say we have it available in methylene by capsule? If so, how can I purchase? I'll let you go ahead and kind of take that away.
It is available at all of our offices. It's a company called NeuroPro. You can get it online as well. NeuroPro comes in two different versions. The one that we carry at the office is a higher dose methylene blue, which is 15 milligrams per tablet. There's a different version of it online that is a little bit of a lower dose. That's called like an ADD version of it. Methylene blue can fix a number of things. It's antiviral, antifungal, antibacterial, works on the electron transport chain at the mitochondrial wall, so the factory of your cell works better. People are using it for anti-aging, for Alzheimer's, cognitive behavioral and function, which is why they have this ADD version. Dosing by drops, what we've said is 8 to 10 drops. I do 32 in the morning because Alzheimer's dose is 16 milligrams. Every drop has 0.5 milligrams in it. Sometimes I'll do 20 twice a day. Sometimes I'll double up and do 30 twice a day if I'm feeling under the weather. And it is absolutely, I just finished a very stressful period whenever you're on all day and then going and perform at night and have to sing and be on and be a present and available and not sick. Methylene blue absolutely got me through that.
Do you think it tastes bad? I kind of think it tastes awful.
The tablets don't. I took the tablets this morning. You will not taste the tablets. I think the drops have a little bit of a taste depending on how much water you put on it, but it's not as bad.
Okay.
The capsules that we do have, just so that you know, has vitamin C in it because vitamin C kind of activates the methylene blue. Sometimes getting out in sunlight or phototherapy, red light therapy will actually help the methylene blue work a little bit better. Anything to stimulate the cell and kind of turn it on, light does that, vitamin C does that. So methylene blue might work a little bit better if you do it, and the capsules have both of that in it. I think it's 750 milligrams of vitamin C, but I know the tablets that we have, 15 milligrams per tablet, 1 to 2 times daily.
I see Margo Kusturian's in here. Margo, good to see you.
I was just with you, Margo. Margo and I go way back. We go back way back to the Atlanta days.
Yeah, Mercer grads.
Mercer grads together. Bears. Yep. Go Bears. Margo is one. We're actually sitting in the Fountain City office.
Yep.
This office is gorgeous.
It's so cool.
There's so many windows. Well, I guess there's not so many windows. We're looking out of a window. I'm looking out at a park.
We're looking the Fountain City Park. Huge shout out to Fountain City, this wonderful neighborhood.
Come see us.
In Knoxville.
Everyone in this town, come see us.
And one thing I want to...
If you know someone in Fountain City, tell them to come see us.
I want to put this up from Teresa because, one, I love it when you guys put in the comments things that you're doing that's working. She mixes her methylene blue with hot water and vitamin C. No blue mouth. And she gets the C as well. Thank you, Teresa, for putting that in there. It's awesome. I might have to try the hot water thing to get rid of the taste. Just isn't my
That's favorite. Great. Yes. I think that's great.
All right. This is a fenbendazole question. I watched Dr. Rogers' video on fenbendazole for cancer. I'm using the protocol for my husband's brain cancer. Is it better to use pill form or the powder? And it goes on to say also, what CBD company does he recommend to go with the protocol?
So I haven't asked him that question yet about the specific CBD company. We have CBD, so I trust the brand that Dad puts together. So we have CBD gummies in the office that I think work really, really well. And we used to carry Charlotte's Web. Those would be the two that I would start with. Charlotte's Web has a really great story. It's the creator, I don't know if we've talked about it on here before, but the creator did it for his daughter who is having intractable seizures.
Yep.
And so that's a good trusted brand. Those would be probably the two that I'd go for. Charlotte's Web 2, I'd say too, on that question that it was what CBD company, and what I got an email to was that it might have been a little bit strong or something. So yep. So I think that yep. the Charlotte's Web probably would be something that I'd go for. Or if you're looking at RCBDs, looking at the orange one. It's like, I feel like Neo from The Matrix, take the blue. Don't do the blue, don't do the red, but do the orange. That's probably the most mild one. Don't do the red. And then, so Fimbendazole, just teaching point, this is a kind of a, not a natural, like, but just an alternative treatment to cancer. Usually when you look at cancer, just for those of you that are looking at it from more of an allopathic viewpoint, you're looking at burning it, radiation, you're looking at poisoning it, chemo, or you're looking at cutting it out, surgery. Those are the three treatment options that you usually go for cancers. This is doing it in a very different way that is working to kill the cancer cells through a dewormer. It's really cool and does not really harm the host. So look at the, rewatch that video if you haven't, because that's a really, really great thing. Pill version versus powder. I have not asked him this specifically about which one he particularly prefers. My general version is that powder gives you a little bit more opportunity to change the dosing up. Pill, it's going to be whatever is in that capsule. And powder, the idea behind pill for powder for any naturals or anything, if you're going to get in either form, is that there's more surface area with powder. So there is a camp of practitioners that actually prefer powder because it has a wider surface area. They say the bioavailability is a little bit better because it can spread against the gastrointestinal tract, that it's not just dropping in this pill version, breaking that capsule that it's encompassed in, and then degrading from there. So probably powder, but I think either one is good. And I think either one, whichever you're going to be able to do routinely. So I think with this particular treatment, it's getting it in is better than not getting it in. Yep. So if you're traveling, pill version is going to be way easier to travel with. Same with methylene blue than yep. with powder. And two, with taste, I'm not really sure if taste is going to be a hindrance. So that's something to consider when doing these. But probably I would say bioavailability from powder is a little bit better.
Yeah, one thing, you know, as we've talked a lot about this sort of topic, one thing you always say is just pick the thing that you're going to be able to do sustainably.
Do. Just get it in. Yes. Same with over-the-counters and vitamins. But there is something about that, and it's surface area. So I would say probably powder. Even Lucas, our nutrition coach, says you can do like powdered magnesium, yep. which tends to be a little bit more potent.
We have a magnesium question coming up. We'll get to that in just a second.
And two, I just want to tell you that this is probably brought to you by
Stanley.
I don't know if you've heard of the makers of Stanley. I was stopped on the side of the road by a middle school girl on my way to yoga, and she said she had the same color Stanley as me. I got this for my birthday from the office, which is so nice. So thank you, girls. I know a lot of the girls are on here for this, but I just want to tell you that this episode is brought to you by Stanley.
You know what? I want to give a shout out to Morgan King. Morgan King's in here. Morgan,
what?
I love you so much, man. Thank you.
Oh, Morgan. Oh, boy.
I can't wait to answer that. That's a great question. Sherry, I see your question. Another one around methylene blue. If you guys have a question for Andy, we're answering all health and wellness questions tonight live. Go ahead and put it in the comments.
You're going to have to get a lip flip if you do this because
straws, lips.
I'm telling you, it's risk-benefit, okay? It's risk-benefit because I'm just going to have to get lip flips now.
I love it. You know, this is a great question because, one, it's been a while since we've gotten a question around the proton. I think it was it proton?
Prolon.
Did I misspell that? I bet I did.
No, so I think that's a different company. Prolon is the fasting mimicking company. So it's kind of like you're eating but still fasting because your gut doesn't detect that you're eating.
So, okay, so this, I did spell this right. Okay.
This is different.
So a friend of mine ordered proton keto diet pills that Kelly Clarkson lost so much weight on. I told her not to take them until I asked you about them. Your thoughts, please. I love questions like this. Anything that's kind of in the
topical,
in the news. We talk a lot about this with the GLP-1s and and the Ozempics, the semaglutides. What's your thoughts on this?
I have a lot of thoughts on this.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, and then just honest thoughts.
Honest thoughts.
Okay, so I looked this up whenever she said that. And I was like, I wonder what she's taking or promoting. If you Google it, there's a lot of controversy about whether or not she's actually promoting this. So I saw some like strange stuff about it actually being falsified claims, that it was more of an ad and a sales tactic rather than something that she was actually taking. I don't know. I don't know Kelly personally, and I love her music. I think she's great. And she lost a lot of weight. Do I believe she did that from proton keto diet pills? Absolutely not. There's no way. I guarantee you, and I don't know her, but I guarantee you she's on something different and something way more potent. I tried even to look up what the proprietary blend for that was, and I couldn't find it, what the ingredients list was. So whenever you're doing something that's going to be over the counter, there's enough active ingredient to do something, but it's not going to be prescription level. Usually with these diet pills, it's some sort of, I found one that was similar that had B12, B6, magnesium. That was it. Okay. And some fat. So the idea behind this keto diet pill is that you're taking a gummy. It's like, I think it's a gummy is what I found, and you're eating fat. So I'd say it's definitely not going to hurt her. Whoever your friend that's asking about this, it's not going to hurt her. I don't know if you're going to see the exact results that you would see, because the results look very drastic from Kelly's weight. And two, even with knowing her history, she has some history of thyroid dysfunction as well. So I wonder, too, if her thyroid's also been fixed as a result. But I guarantee you she did a lot of nutritional changes, maybe to some different interventions like a GLP-1, GIP. This one, I would say that probably not if I were to do it, but since she already got it, I'd say it's definitely not going to hurt her. I'd say try it out, see what she does, but I probably wouldn't spend more money on it. It's a version of B12, B6, and other naturals that you can probably get higher doses and better branding.
Super interesting. I love this type of question. And
like, it's the Zac Efron question. Did he get filler?
Right.
Yeah, I don't know Zach personally, and I love him. I would love to meet him in real life. I would love to sing with him.
I think he's awesome.
I love Zach. I'm on the Efron train. I'm on the Zach train.
Me too.
Toot, beep, beep.
Yep.
But do I think that he broke his chin 10 years ago and now he has a big jaw? No, I do not believe that. Because too, if you see the show that he's in right now that just came out, something about Stanicky, his jaw's gone. His jaw's gone. Yeah, that doesn't happen. Ladies and gentlemen, that does not happen. I think it was a combination of some growth hormone for the iron claw and maybe some filler.
Ah, hot take.
That's a hot take. But Zach, if you're listening to this, I love you.
Yeah, you're great.
Kelly Clarkson, if you're listening to this, I love you, girl. I'll take this proton keto diet pills. Damn, girl, I love Kelly. But do I believe for a second that it's just that? No, I don't. I don't. And there's different versions that you can get of that.
Great questions there, guys. We're going to get into the live comments here in just a second. Real quick, I got to give Jack a shout out. Thank you for being here, Jack, as always.
Bring on the peeps. We have 68 people in here tonight. Yeah,
so much fun. I'm trying to see where I'm at.
And I know Molly's in the his house.
Molly's here.
Oh, Molly, my beloved.
What's going on,
Molly. I'm so excited you're here.
All of our Instagram people, thank you guys for hanging out. If you guys got a question for Andy, go ahead and put it in the comments. Real quick, you guys know we put out Performance Weekly every single Tuesday at 3 p.m. And we had a bunch of videos go out that I thought were amazing. One, I'm going to put this up because it stars my brother here to my left, your right. Best aesthetic practices for aging skin. It was along with my sister. So Kelly and Andy got on the Skin Podcast and talked about best aesthetic practices. What was your big takeaway from Kelly? I know that conversation was a lot of fun for you.
So much fun.
I know you love talking aesthetics with Kelly.
I do. There's just so much that you can do. I would say the biggest takeaway is start now. Yeah. Start now. Pick the things that you're going to be consistent with. Even Margo and I were in the office today talking about skin stuff. She's working on retinol treatments. I'm working on vitamin C treatments and even some of our procedures that we carry out in the Johnson City office. So I think it's never – Kelly said it's – never too early to start, and it's also never too late. So I thought that was a good thing that a lot of people think it is too late, and it's not. But there's a lot of stuff that you can do for your skin that's natural, that stimulates or on collagen, elastin. People think they have to get fillers and Botox, and you don't have to. But you could, but you don't have to. So I think that was a really great takeaway. And two, go to an esthetician. We're lucky. Kelly's amazing. And her team, the other Kelly, Kelly Kaddish and Emily are amazing. Jasmine here in Knoxville. We got great peeps.
Yep. I'm going to keep going here. We put out another episode. If you're the Tri-Cities folks, you guys will know this guy. Dr. Jim Brantner is amazing. They talk about common sense and plastic surgery. If you haven't listened to that episode, please do. I will say there's the audio version is longer. So check that out. Check both episodes out. They're super cool. We put a version on YouTube and a version on Spotcast.
Spotcast. Brought to you by Spotcast, ladies and gentlemen.
Apple and Spotify. I want to put up here, dive into diet. Our nutrition coach, Lucas Schmidt, talks about stability and power. In particular, he talks about fast twitch muscles as we get older and the importance of them. So make sure you guys check that out. Lucas does a great job of talking about how we should exercise as we're getting older. Actually, you and I were talking about this before we hit
record. We talk about our bodies.
We do. We do. We're like, what are you doing?
What's wrong with you? But Lucas is also starring in the next show at Jonesboro Repertory Theater. I have to shout out to my home theater. I love them.
Do it.
They're doing the play that goes wrong, which is not done in this area, which is awesome. And the Carole King musical, Beautiful, that was just in, was a regional premiere. Play that goes wrong. If it has been done, it hasn't been done a lot. But this, I mean, I'm telling you, he's going to kill it. It's going to be hilarious.
Awesome.
Get your tickets now. Support local. And also know that, too, that everyone's on stage is volunteering their time.
Yes.
And you work all day and then go do this. It's really a feat to be able to see that. So that's such a good theater.
Yeah.
So go see it. It opens up in 2 weeks.
All right. We're going to get to live comments, guys. Thank you all so much. I see Connie's in here.
Oh, Connie.
I see Melanie's in here. Melanie, thank you.
That's so sweet.
All right. If you guys got a question for Andy, go ahead and put it in the comments. We're going to start. Let's see. Where are we at? I think Richard had one. There we go. Richard on Facebook is asking, can you comment about Cleveland Clinic lead study discovers link between high levels of niacin, a common B vitamin, and heart disease? All right. So I'm assuming you have not read this article that Richard's talking about.
No, I haven't.
Any thoughts regarding high niacin levels and heart disease?
I don't know the connection between that. That's something I would want to see, that and kind of see what levels of niacin people are getting up to, whether or not it's a methylated version of this B vitamin. But two, no, I don't know the link between that too. I think there can be so much as a too much of a good thing. I do know that too. Usually it's a water soluble vitamin. I had one patient several years ago talk about increased risk of cancers with too much B vitamins. I just haven't seen enough on it. Mm-hmm. So I would say too, that's something that I would want to look up before I make an official comment on it. But I don't think you're going to get so much of it unless you're just really ramping it up on niacin specifically. Mm-hmm. Niacin gives you a flush.
Yep.
Have you ever heard of niacin flush? So I don't know if that's something that it talks about too. I'd want to read that. That's a good one. I don't know that right off the top of my head.
Richard, what we'll do is we'll find this study that you're talking about, and we'll have a more detailed answer for you in the coming weeks. Thank you for putting this in there. I love when you guys bring
Make
up articles and stuff that's out in the internet ether. We love talking about stuff like this.
I had a patient call me. Oh, they were outside the ER, and they're like, "I'm either going in or can Andy just ask me?" And he's like, "I'm completely red. I'm flushing all over." It's like, I started something your dad told me I just took it like 15 minutes ago. I was like, was it niacin? He's like, yeah. I was like, don't go in the ER, just wait outside. And he did, and he was fine. So it does cause some flushing, which too, I'll have to look at that with heart disease though. I wonder if it's talking about increased risk for like plaquing. Like plaquing occlusion, heart disease, muscle damage. Interested.
Real quick, I see one of our favorite pharmacists, Colton Markham, is in the building over on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
Colton, thank you so much, man. Thank
we
you
We love
being
Markham's
here.
Pharmacy. We love them.
You guys are the best. Let's keep going here. If you guys got a question on Instagram, make sure you put in the comments. I'm looking at all of it. We're going to get to Sherry here. Sherry is asking, is there any prescription medications that doesn't work well with methylene blue? Would love my elderly father to try it, but he is on blood thinners, heart medicine, cholesterol medicine, etc. Amazing question, Sherry. Ange, take it away.
So the general answer to that would be no. Like he would be absolutely welcome to try it. I'd probably just start on a little bit lower doses, like 8 to 10 drops, the 4 to 5 milligrams. When I went to a lecture by Dr. Scott Scher on this, he has a lot of information online. Really, the one that you're looking at is anything that deals with the norepinephrine class or serotonin class, because it can increase norepinephrine in high enough doses to where if you're on something that inhibits its reuptake, you might have something called serotonin syndrome, which really deals more with serotonin and not more of norepinephrine. But he talked a little bit more about norepinephrine, which is a neurotransmitter that some medications work with. And so with what you've described, blood thinners, heart medication, which is normally going to be like beta blockers, ACE ARBs, cholesterol medicines, which is another heart medicine, no, it won't deal with any of those or won't affect any of those. Most people would take methylene blue in the morning. You can take it at night, but especially too for an elderly father, like with looking at cognitive function, yes, absolutely, I would tell him to take this on. The more pertinent medication issues come when you're doing an IV version of methylene blue, not oral. Mm. And you have to really crank up the heat on the doses. And Dr. Scott Scher has never seen anything happen orally by mouth. But he has seen some stuff with IV methylene blue, with hypertension, and with norepinephrine. So the answer is that no, I wouldn't be scared about that at all.
Can you say that the guy's name again? Because I know we get a lot.
Dr. Scott Scher.
Okay, Scher.
Scher. S-H-E-R. Scher.
All right. Thank you, Sherry, for putting that in.
Great question.
I'm going to put this up here from Margot, our Fountain City provider. She's in regards to Richard's question with niacin. Margot saying it could be that they're getting too many processed foods, since processed food is normally reinforced with niacin and other supplements. The link could be processed food and not just niacin. That's a great point, Margo.
That's great. Yeah, too, we got vitamin-enriched foods all the time. Yes, and iodine-enriched foods.
Yeah. Thank you, Margo, for that comment. I see Montana's in the building. Montana, what's going on? Great to see you over from our West Knoxville office. Thank you for hanging out with us.
I got to hang out with them today. It was just so much fun to hang out in the Knoxville crew.
They are rocking and rolling over there.
K-Town, what's up?
Okay, let's get to my brother Morgan King. How do you feel about earthing / grounding? I feel like we're getting a grounding question almost weekly. It's definitely a thing. What's your thoughts on it?
Ben, do you feel grounded?
My feet are not on the ground right now because I'm trying to be as tall as you.
No, absolutely. I feel the earth move under my feet. I feel the sky tumbling down. That's also from the Carole King musical. I feel the earth move. Sorry, Morgan. Yes, the answer is it's absolutely yes. This is a great thing. Earthing grounding is where you're actually connecting your feet, your body, physical body, to the earth. The earth has magnetism in it too. So there's magnetic fields, and it's supposed to connect your magnetism to the earth to help center you. And that's part of it is like grounding. It's like, you know, when all of it's with magnetism. And I think that's an absolutely good thing. I think about it from a dancing perspective. So I studied a little bit of dance in college. I didn't get into it until later. But when you're turning, you have to push into the ground to find your center of gravity. So it's all about pushing and connecting with the earth. So the more that you can do that with your actual feet, you actually just get to get a better feel for it. So I think that earthing grounding is a yes. Taking off your shoes, too, is a thing, because if you're thinking about anything more natural for your body, you want to be disconnected from clothing, from shoes. It's actually really, really great. We weren't meant to be in all this. Yeah. We were meant to be naked the entire time. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But actually, yes, we were. Connecting to the ground is good. And so I'd say yes, and it's Fran, our provider in Johnson City.
Yep.
Love Fran. She grounds at lunch every day.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Now, does she go like in the grass, or does she have like a grounding?
She goes to the grass.
Rock on.
She goes to the grass.
Super cool.
Yeah.
Morgan, thank you for that question. I hope that helps a little bit. I hope that helps some of you guys in here. I know there's a lot of questions around grounding.
That's like with the structuring your water. That's with waking up and looking at the actual sunrise and getting those rays coming from the sun actually, and like decreases your melatonin and increases your orexin receptors, which is wakefulness. So a lot of that is a natural way to get things, which is great.
I'm gonna put this up from Robin. The Earthing movie on Amazon Prime is a great documentary. Thank you, Robin, for putting that in there. For any of you guys who are wanting to dive a bit deeper on the earthing / grounding movement. Thank you, Robin, for putting that in there. I actually need to check that out.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to this question.
Very au naturel. Ben is.
Rhonda is asking, what test on the Cleveland blood panel shows inflammation and what supplements help bring down inflammation? For example, methylene blue. I love this question.
This is a great one. Yeah, Cleveland blood panel is a great panel. If you want to start with us, Cleveland heart test for a lot of stuff. I say it's a really great broad stroke without getting crazy into details. So it's kind of like this. It's a good way to start with us. It does the very first four tests on it are an inflammatory panel. So there's four particular markers. There's LPPLA2, myeloperoxidase, oxidized LDL, and high sensitivity C-reactive protein. Those are the four first tests. So you're kind of looking at generally, we have like this Cleveland handout that comes on that I believe Margo and Robin put together. I think Margo did that, and then Robin did our APOE and MTHFR. Kudos to them. We have really great providers. Yes. So white blood cell inflammation, vessel inflammation. There's also homocysteine on there, which is kind of red blood cell inflammation-ish. And then high-sensitivity C-reactive protein is a very sensitive test, but not a specific test for inflammation. That's going to be the one that people are most recognized. And then oxidized LDL is going to be an inflammatory version of cholesterol. And so those are the four markers it does. And supplements help bring down inflammation, methylene blue, of course, low-dose naltrexone, which is a prescription, not a supplement, but also helps out with decreasing inflammatory response through the interleukins, which we don't really test for on the Cleveland, but does bring down inflammation. I keep down my CRP with low-dose naltrexone, but also, too, you can look at curcumin turmeric. Those are probably my two favorites. 400 to 800 milligrams of curcumin is usually what I tell people to do, and it'll help bring down inflammation. Then looking and seeing what else is on a Cleveland will help determine what's causing the high inflammation. I one time had a guy, his CRP was like 72. I mean, it was greater than 10. Anything greater than 10, it doesn't register. So it just says greater than 10. So we did a specific one for him as a follow-up test. It was 72, and it turned out he had something called a Clay-Chevalier's fracture in his neck. It had nothing to do with what he drew the blood for. He wanted to look at his hormones.
Wow.
His neck was broken.
Wow.
That was also like my third day. That's like a test question. I was like, what?
That brings up something that came up last week that I want your thoughts on. There was a question last week, I think maybe, I forget who it was from, but it was around inflammation and inflammatory markers. Can you still have inflammation yet all your inflammatory markers look fine? Mm. And Doc gave a great answer. I kind of want to know your thoughts. Like, what's your thoughts on that?
I think you can.
Yeah, that's what he said.
I think you absolutely can. Yeah. And it might just not be registering the way. I think a lot of people have inflammatory symptoms without necessarily having the CRP be high. SED rate is another one that's not, we don't test for on the Cleveland Heart Panel, but that's another inflammatory marker that could be elevated. That's just not showing up on a Cleveland. But I think you can have inflammation without showing up on tests, just like you can have thyroid dysfunction without it necessarily showing up on a test. And we just have to really think about what the symptom relief looks like.
Love the inflammation questions. It feels like it always comes down to that.
It feels like it's inflamed.
I see Angie's in here. Angie, what's going on? Great to see you.
Oh, boy. Oh, no. Oh, no. Angie, the troublemaker. I'm just kidding. Angie, tell Papa Sharam I said hello, okay?
Angie, thank you
Please
for being
do.
Here.
Tell the girls I said hello.
I love it.
Angie's daughter is getting married in October.
Oh, congrats. Zoe. Congrats, Zoe.
So exciting.
Rock on. I want to put this up here. This came actually based on one of our posts. Carter texted me about this, and it's around magnesium dosing. We talk about magnesium a ton. One, before you answer, Andy, I want to just refer everyone to the magnesium video we did on Explain This with Robin Riddle. really goes into all the different types of magnesium and what their uses are. How would you coach somebody on magnesium dosing in general? I know it could be, you know, super specific.
500 milligrams.
There we go. That was easy.
That's what I do. The one that Dr. Rogers magnesium is 250. Life Extension's 500. Really, it depends on what you're doing it for. If you're looking for a general dosing of magnesium just to have in your body, magnesium's great for bowel movements, blood pressure, neuropathic pain, sleep, calm, anxiety. I tell people 500. And then two, having like, I think glycinates are really good. Glycinate 3 and 8s are really good subset or substrates attachment for magnesium. Citrate's really good for bowel movements. If you're super constipated, you can go higher than that. Max dosing, recommended. If you look at recommended dosing, you Google it, it's going to be anywhere from like 250 to 400 max. And they're like, don't go over 400. I tell people to start on 500 easy. Mm-hmm. And then if you really are constipated, having a citrate and going up to 2 grams or 2,000 milligrams max, and you'll go. Like, you'll go. Like, be near a bathroom if that happens. Ben. We won't talk about Ben's bowel issues. He doesn't have any. It's good. He's fine. He's on the shield. He's on the digest shield. It's fine.
We're brothers. You know.
Ben was an Imodium kid. I had to have that Imodium kids. Okay.
But now I got digest shield, and digest shield solves it.
I'm sorry. I'm kidding. Digest shield does solve it, though.
There you go.
Just make sure you have good books in the bathroom, okay?
All right, we're going to get back to the questions here.
I'm so sorry. But no, 500. 500 is a good
place. I'm going to put this up from Robin. Magnesium can help pregnancy nausea too. Thank you, Robin. Robin, of course, specializes in functional fertility. So thank you for putting that in there, Robin. Let's keep going here. Where are we at? We are... down inflammation. I see Grandma Mary's in here. Grandma
Kiki is 88 years old.
88 years old. Looks amazing.
Kicking it. Looks amazing. So much fun. We celebrated our birthdays in February together.
Yep.
We did.
Yep.
Ben wasn't there. Kiki and I. Ben doesn't have a February birthday, but he wasn't there. It was me and Kiki. It's fine.
let's get Margo's question in. I'm going to have to go to therapy after this.
I'm just kidding. I'm so sorry. We can't be in the same room. We can't. That's good.
Margo is asking, Andy, how can everyone get hair as thick as yours? The people want to know. I agree. Your hair looks great.
Oh,
tell us your routine.
Your hair looks good.
Thank you.
Margo, I really want to say the answer is God first. And I'd like to thank him and her first.
I'm just kidding.
No, so Margo and I talked about hair today. So I appreciate this question too, because there's a lot of things that you can do. When you're talking about hair, you want to have really great naturals to help just support the hair integrity. We have a happy, healthy hair. That's Dr. Rogers' formula. A lot of that is biotin, collagen, B vitamins really help out with hair. Two, you also too want to rule out any metabolic dysfunction like thyroid dysfunction. You want to rule out... hormonal imbalance, looking at estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, the conversion to dihydrotestosterone, all is in within the hair integrity. I'm laughing about hair because I'm looking at it now. Like, I'm just kind of shaking it out. And then two, you can actually have a lot of hair loss with extreme stress, extreme weight loss. You can have like COVID causes hair loss, extreme weight loss causes hair loss. So two, the thing that I do a hair growth material, which is minoxidil. Minoxidil increases angiogenesis of the hair follicle. I do it orally. Rogaine is the typical topical people use, but I use an oral minoxidil at 2.5 to 5 milligrams daily. I use finasteride, which is a DHT blocker. DHT in high doses can actually cause hair loss, so finasteride helps stop the hair loss. And then I also do the Happy Healthy Hair, and there's Autogeny C shampoo. We have that available in all of our offices. We have Autogeny C shampoo. We have Happy Healthy Hair. Prescriptions can come from many of our providers, but Autogeny C shampoo you can use once a week, once every other week, to it has a stem cell formula in it. Some people use Jamaican oil. That's something too, yep, that you can get compounded with all this stuff. Some people use latanoprost, which is Latisse, and you can use it on the scalp too to help. I did, one of my friends at the theater put Rogaine on his face to grow more facial hair.
Did it work?
I don't know. It's an experiment. It's you can Google it. It's a thing. It's a Reddit. I didn't know you could do that.
That's super interesting. Mm-hmm. What a great question. Margo, thank you for
putting
that in.
The people want to know. Thank you, Margo. Margo, this here's for you. Brought to you by Herbal Essence.
The people do want to know.
Actually, don't use Herbal Essence.
I want to put this up here from Rebecca. Thank you for this comment. We don't put shoes on our kids till they're over a year old, usually closer to two. I believe it helps with them processing emotions, et cetera, as a little one, but also they end up quick walkers and amazing sleep. That's
super
cool.
And also, too, for their toe strength.
Yeah.
Like being able to wake up their toes, that's really cool. Really, really cool.
Rebecca, thank you so much
for that.
That's awesome. Let's get to Roel here. Is there any supplement that helps boost free testosterone? Mm-hmm. So talking about a supplement, we didn't explain this with Robin on Jatenza, which I know is not a supplement, but it is an oral capsule, which was super interesting.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on this for free testosterone?
Free testosterone, usually looking at boron can help decrease sex hormone binding globulin, but the two formulas I look at are Super Miraforte from Life Extension and Masculini Tea. That sounds like a pasta, and it's not. Masculinity tea is just a natural. Those help unbind bound tea. And a lot of that, too, is going to be, but it also, too, like blocks DHT. So a lot of it has pumpkin seed in it. A lot of it has boron in it. And all naturals. Super Miraforte and Masculinity Tea. Those are the two to look at.
Rock on.
Masculinity Tea was from a patient of mine. He loves free tea.
Roel, thank you for that, man.
Yeah, it's a great one. Great question.
Lisa, I'm going to get to Lisa over on Facebook. Yeah. Lisa always shares the broadcast. Thank you, Lisa, for being here as
always. Thank you.
Lisa's asking, ever since I had COVID, my sinuses are a train wreck. I swallow huge gunks of stuff. I don't know how my head is holding up so much blood and yellow. Ooh, okay.
No.
Man, I'm sorry, Lisa. I am using Flonase and taking Sudafed for decongesting. My ears are doing better. My face is so very sore. I bet. I hope you're feeling okay, Lisa. Have a sinus headache daily. Any recommendations would be thankfully received. So it seems like this is all around sinuses. What's your thoughts on this?
Well, I would have a follow-up question and see, when did you have COVID? Like, has this been happening for 2 years, or is this happening, like, is COVID recent? Because if you're looking at this, like, I had COVID in 2020 and I still have all this stuff going on, This is a long hauler type syndrome. And there's a formula online from the frontline health doctors, and we've done some stuff on COVID long haulers that I would go back to I would do ivermectin, prednisone, low-dose naltrexone, and get on more of a prescription version protocol for long haulers. If you're recently coming out from COVID, we have a COVID protocol for our vitamins that I would start off with right now. And it's usually a 5 to 10 day course of very high D, C, zinc, quercetin, B vitamins, omega-3, melatonin. Sinuses, though, it's probably because your body is just freaking out. So COVID's very inflammatory, and your body had a tough time getting rid of it. And so the sinuses, I would do anything that's going to be decongestant. That's what I would do. First time, January 2023, second time. So you just had it.
Yeah.
So you're coming out of it right now. This is recent. I would do anything to get the gunk out, do it nasal rinses. So I love neti pots. I would use filtered water and then heat it. Like, if you're going to be like super careful about it, some people just use warm water out of the tap, but that will just help start to clear the sinuses. Elderberry is another really good one. It honestly sounds like you probably need, like, you might have had a secondary infection from COVID, because COVID is inflammatory, and then your body freaks out and tries to get it out, which is why your sinuses start to run, and then it could just hang around in there and cause a secondary infection. So I'd almost say getting on a prescription medication, maybe doing doxycycline, some prednisone to really clear it up, clear it out. I'd almost treat this like this is COVID, do the package, and then follow up with all the naturals. Go to the Frontline Health Doctors website and look up long haulers and active COVID. There is a whole list of naturals. Manuka honey, high doses of D, C, zinc, elderberry, that all help out with that. And I would do some nasal rinses too. I do Cofix, iodine spray, which might help out too. Just to kind of help, that just has some antiviral properties to it. So that's That's a lot. But I think, too, if you need a specific list, frontline doctors, go, it's all available online for free. And a lot of those are naturals. But I would consider thinking that you might have a secondary infection that you're having a tough time clearing if it's that bad.
Lisa, I hope that helps.
I'm sorry. That sucks. Neti pot tonight, though. Neti pot tonight with some salt rinses.
Yeah. Thank you, Lisa. And great answer there. I want to put this up from Loretta. Because Loretta asked the inflammation question last week. This is a comment. Having problems with all my joints, such as sitting, and then it's an effort to stand and move. Primary ran inflammatory markers, and then office called saying markers are normal. Probably just osteoarthritis, and keep an appointment for 3 months, so wait 3 months. I'd say that's probably typical, you know, in terms of, like, the experience you might get at a primary.
Oh, that I was like, was that us?
No. I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
You can do something right now for that too. So osteoarthritis, when you're looking at different arthritic materials, rheumatoid versus osteo, rheumatoid is going to be inflammation around the kind of like a synovial fluid inflammation that's more rheumatological in nature, which is rheumatoid arthritis, but that's like an autoimmune process. Osteoarthritis is usually part of the aging process where the bones get really close together and knot up, and it's really difficult to move the bones because it works at the joints. Typical, if you look at it from like a family practice standpoint, what's the standard of care for osteo is Tylenol, which can help. A lot of that too is maybe looking at low-dose naltrexone. That's what I'd be doing about inflammation, especially with joints. If you want to look at some naturals right now because LDN's a prescription, I'd look at glucosamine, curcumin, and some collagen, even like chondroitin. Like, that's another good one that people will use for joints. I had a patient really get less joint pain with Ozempic.
Really?
Oh, yeah. She used it for psoriatic arthritis, and all of her joint pain went away. I've had a patient that's post-COVID get rid of joint pain with ivermectin. And so it depends on, with this particular question, I would want to know where what joints are hurting. Is it fingers? Is it hips? Is it knees? Because that's different modalities. Is it your shoulders? And then try some of those naturals until you have your follow-up. But even be prepared to go into your follow-up saying, have you heard about low-dose naltrexone? Can we try that? That's a really great intervention that doesn't have a lot of harm to the host.
And real quick, Loretta, I'm sending you guys all over the place, but there's a couple videos we've done on low-dose naltrexone. If you search in YouTube low-dose naltrexone performance medicine, you'll have a couple Explain This episodes with Robin Riddle. Yeah. You'll have a couple of Common Sense MD episodes as well. So definitely check that out. I hope that helps a little bit. We need to keep moving here. I love this question from DPC over on YouTube. Love the YouTube fam. What do you think about essential oils like frankincense for pain, peppermint for headaches? I'm actually curious what you think about this. What's your thoughts?
100%. I'm so glad you asked this because a patient brought me frankincense yesterday.
Really? That's awesome.
As a gift. It was cool. So nice. It was so, so, so nice. So
super cool.
Yes. I don't, without saying her name, you know.
Yeah.
But gosh, thank you. You know who you are. Thank you. That was so nice. And I put it on my feet last night. I put frankincense on my feet last night. So I'm all about it. Frankincense is a very good yes, do I believe in essential oils? Yes, there's a lot of people who don't. A lot of the best absorption comes through your feet, but I use peppermint for headaches all the time. You can put it behind your ear. The smell helps. So I'm all about it. Specifically, the two that you have mentioned, frankincense is a good overall one for pain, for well-being, for longevity. Peppermint's great for headaches, for sinuses, so that might be another one for our sinus question.
Yep.
Peppermint is good for. And then two, lavender for sleep. Those are great. Lemon to wake up. Fran uses essential oils all the time. We smell like a Bath and Body Works in Johnson City. But she also mentioned too, and see if you have heard of this, that if an oil, like an essential oil, smells bad to you, it means you're deficient in it and you need it.
That's interesting.
There's a theory about that.
Huh. DPC, thank you for bringing this up.
That's great.
We do believe in essential oils and we don't talk about them enough. So thank you for bringing this question up. I love that. Let's get to, Angel, where are we at? There we go.
Angel's on the, what? Can I just shout out to Angel real quick?
Well, she's a little happy birthday. Her birthday's in February also.
I love, Angel and I love, love Angel. We were emailing today. So Angel is in PA school and going to be a future PA. She's about to go into her clinical year, and she just killed her pack rat.
Rock on. Which is huge.
Pack rat is a practice pants, and two, she did amazing on it, which means she's going to pass her boards and be a brilliant PA. So we're really proud of you. I love Angel. So I'm so glad you're here.
Yeah, thank you for being here, Angel. That means the world to us.
That you're taking time to do this, yeah. And I know how much coursework you have. So that's amazing. It's amazing.
So Angel's question is, what do you recommend for an Angel would, ask a word I cannot pronounce.
Seborrheic dermatitis.
Seborrheic dermatitis. Seborrheic.
Seborrheic dermatitis. Yeah.
All right. What do you recommend for this?
So, two, I thought I had seborrheic dermatitis for a long time, which I feel like I probably did as a kid. That's a very big thing with kids, is that they get seborrheic dermatitis. It's an overgrowth of yeast. It's Malaria furfur is usually what the overgrowth is. Psoriasis, too, has a yeast component as well, but it's more autoimmune. Can look very similar. Cradle cap. Seborrheic dermatitis, if you're at a cradle cap. So too, a lot of that is using tar shampoos. Tea tree oils are really good if you're looking at naturals for those. They have prescription strength seborrheic dermatitis shampoos and lotions that work well. A lot of it too can be fixed with almost like a candida-free nutritional intervention or diet plan, not eating a lot of things that are going to feed the yeast. Mm. But if you're looking at something, topical cleansing is looking at tar. Like there's this tea gel, Neutrogena tea gel, that's a shampoo. Tea tree oil works really well. What I do is for flares, use topical fluocinonide. It's a really just high potency liquid steroid that you don't want to put on your face, like here, and like, oh, I wouldn't put it in your T-zones because it can really decrease the layer skin barrier here. But in tougher areas, you can put like chest. Usually when people get seborrheic dermatitis, it's usually scalp and chest. Sometimes they can get it here on the neck and sometimes in the T-zones. Mm. So probably tea tree oil here, something that's anti-yeast. Some people even use for seborrheic, they'll use like diaper rash cream. Because that diaper rash cream works for a lot of things.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Angel, thank you for bringing this
up. That's a great one. Yeah. Oh,
that's a great question. She's amazing. Angel, thank you for being here. We really appreciate you. We're going to keep moving here. I know we got a question here. I'm sure I'm missing some. But there. Oh, Diane. Okay. Thank you, Diane.
Diane's
got a great question about eye health. What's a good vitamin for eye health? Very common, I think, concern. What do you recommend, out of curiosity?
Mega green tea extract.
Nice.
Yep. So two, I have across the street, Shelby Endodontics. Dr. Shelby's amazing. Yep. So if you need work on your gums, go to him. He's across from our Johnson City Clinic. He loves mega green tea extract for gum and like teeth health. Like for your oral health, mega green tea extract. Kelly, our sister. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Loves omega green tea extract. And I'm speaking for him. You'll have to ask him. But yeah, I remember him saying something about how helpful that vitamin was. Omega green tea extract also helped my sister on her fundoscopic exams because we both have type 1 diabetes, which has us prone to retinopathies. She had something called cotton wool spots, which is kind of signs of diabetic eye deterioration. Hers went away. With mega green tea extract. She does it every day. So that's a really, really great one. Eye health, it depends on what you're looking at. Retinopathy, are you looking at macular degeneration? There's one called MacuGuard from Life Extension, which is another really good one. But I usually look, and there's one called, I think, Lutein?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Lutein's one. Yeah. Mega green tea extract, so the one I would go with first.
Out of curiosity, is this, with aesthetics, you talk about kind of prevention, starting early with eye health. Would you start doing like green extract?
Yes. If you have a family history of it, yes. Start it now. Why not? Or if you have a chronic condition that's going to lead itself into eye health, eye deterioration, then yes.
Okay.
And to even like protective blue light.
Yeah.
Like protect yourself with blue light because we look at screens a lot, which isn't great for eye health.
Yep.
Wearing corrective lenses, that helps. Sometimes even people will do drops. Like Dad did atropine drops. He did. He did something to help him read for like near vision. I forget
what that was.
He did a drop.
Something though. It was definitely something.
Like either constricted or dilated his pupils. I forget which one.
Diane, great question. Yeah. Thank you for the eye health question there. And honestly, like, I did not know that about green extract.
Yeah, mega green tea.
All right, let's get to Megan here. Megan, good evening. Any recommendations for supplements that can help with the side effects of or from weaning off Vyvanse medication? Great question.
Oh, yeah. So, two, Brooke in our Kingsport Red House is super passionate about naturals for ADD. Vyvanse is an ADD medication. It's a dopaminergic drug. It's within the amphetamine family, and it's extended release. So, two, with the side effects from weaning off is probably doing, Synapsin is one. It's something that they compound. So, look up Synapsin. It's like high-dose B vitamins. I think it's B6. And there's another one. Brooke has texted it to me 1,000 times because I've asked her this question.
Megan, look up Synapsin and Robin Riddle. We did a explain this episode on Synapsin as well. It was, that has to be a year or two ago. But
it's tyrosine.
Tyrosine. L-tyrosine.
L-tyrosine. I'm almost positive. Hold on. Yes. Synapsin. And I think it's L-tyrosine. Yeah, it's either tyramine or tyrosine. I'm pretty sure it's tyrosine. Are really, really good for ADHD and focus. And even looking at methylene blue, I keep saying methylene blue, but that does help out with that.
Yep.
If you're feeling like side effects from weaning off might be focus issues, that's what I would be, Megan, if you're looking at what side effects are. Because when you're looking at psychiatric drugs and coming off of them, or psychiatric drugs in general, you're looking at addiction, dependence, or tolerance. And a lot of with Vyvanse and those medications are tolerance to those drugs because they work with fight or flight, and fight or flight deals with focus. Mm. So we're not looking at, like, if you're coming off of alcohol, coming off of a benzodiazepine like Xanax, Ativan, we're not looking at like DTs and some serious like health condition side effects when you're coming off those medications, or like an opioid when you have withdrawal symptoms. But side effects probably of having increased unfocus is what I would necessarily probably say is a side effect. If you're thinking about anything specific, let me know. But I would say a natural version or a supplement for ADHD that we use Synapsin and tyrosine and methylene blue.
Margot uses L-tyrosine.
Is it tyrosine? Yes. Okay. Rogan.
And I'm going to put this up here from Diane Macular Pucker. Does that make any difference with the eye health question? I believe.
I would look at MacuGuard. MacuGuard Life Extension. Mega Green Tea Extract is not going to hurt, but look at MacuGuard.
Cool. All right, let's get Karen in here. Karen, thank you so much for being here. So good to see
you.
Yes. What is the best brand/dosage of milk thistle for non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, or is there another supplement better for the liver?
I love milk thistle. Omega-3s are really good for the liver. So I would do omega-3s with an EPA DHA around 800 milligrams to 1,000 milligrams a day. Mm-hmm. I love milk thistle and I take it too. So I love the Life Extension milk thistle. I think that's the best brand and the dosage that's on the back of that. That's my favorite. And I think milk thistle is amazing for the liver. I think that's an awesome one. They have one that's called anti-alcohol.
Yeah.
So that if you drink, that it helps out with the metabolism of it. That's also just good for your liver too. So I think those are two good ones from Life Extension, along with omega-3s. That's a really, really good one. Even looking at detoxes. So I'm doing a CellCore detox right now. That's a parasite cleanse. It's a heavy metals cleanse. It's a mold cleanse and a phthalate or a plastics cleanse. It's really good. I feel great on it. So that's another great thing for the liver, just to detox all of that. And so looking at kind of a turnkey company like CellCore, I'm looking at a foundational protocol as something that would be great too.
Super cool. Karen, thank you so much for that question. And you know what? I think that's going to be a show tonight.
What a show.
You did incredible, man.
Dude, you did great, too. And ladies and gentlemen, can we give a what to the host here?
Guys, how do we do?
A regular Joe Rogan.
What we do at the end of every performance medicine show, we do like 1 to 10. How do we do? Let us know.
Let us know.
We do this every single Tuesday, 7 to 8. And Andy, man, thank you for this. You're in Fountain City right now.
I'm in Fountain City right now. We're looking at the office. We're looking at this beautiful, beautiful office with a lot of history, too. Yep. This office has
I believe it was the Creamery.
It was the Creamery. You can smell the ice cream from right here.
Years ago, close to where Central High School used to be here in Knoxville. Angel, thank you. Carter, thank you. Thank you guys for being here.
We'll take it.
We've had so much. Margo's in here. Robin's in here.
So many nice people here. Angie, y'all, thank you for showing up.
Connie, thank you. Grandma Mary, thank you for the 10, Grandma Mary. You guys are the best. Chrissy, thank you. We love you guys. We do this every single Tuesday, 7 to 8, the Performance Medicine Show. If you want to catch a recap of this, it'll be on the Outside the Box podcast a week from today.
Ayla. I didn't know Ayla was on here.
Ayla, what's going on,
God,
Ayla?
Oh, my God, I love Ayla. She's so great.
Great to
see
you.
She's so nice. And Chick Fish, oh, my God. Thank you for my Dolly book. I read my Dolly book every day. She's so sweet. I have two Dolly books from Chick, which are amazing. She knows how much I love Dolly.
Dolly's the best.
Dolly's the best.
Dolly's the best. Guys, we love y'all. We'll be back next week, 7 to 8 Tuesday. Real quick, if you have not signed up for our email list, you get all this into your email. You know exactly where we are and when. Go to performancemedicine.net to sign up for that. It's on the front page, I believe. And if you need any Dr. Rogers formulas online, it's performancemedicine.net/shop. We're ramping up that online store, so we're going to get more and more supplements up there pretty much on a weekly basis. So any of the Dr. Rogers formulas you can find on our website, performancemedicine.net/shop. Allison, love you. Molly, we love you.
Great
Diane,
show.
Thank you. D-Lynn, thank you. We're out of here. We're out of here.
What?
Brad, bring us out, man. Bring us out. Where's Brad at? Come on, Brad. Brad, outro. Start playing.
One other thing about us.
There we go.